introduction and recommendation, and he goes down to see, goes down to the city of Samaria and sees the king of Israel, based on a passing comment made by this little girl. And he took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000. And you notice the word pieces there is in italics. We're probably dealing with shekels. And 10 changes of raiment. Understand that clothes were expensive, and we're probably not talking about just, here's a package of t-shirts. It was probably, comparable to a suit today. Understand that back in the day, all the fibers were hand woven. You spun all the thread. Then you had a loom, and everything was hand woven to create the fabric. And then it all had to be cut and pre-shrunk and dyed and all this other stuff, and then sewn together by hand. Clothes were very expensive. And so 10 suits would be quite a wardrobe in the day. And so we're talking 750 pounds of silver. And last week I checked the value of that. And that was $154,000 today, or last week. And then, assuming we're dealing with shekels and so on, we're talking 15 pounds of gold. And again, last week, $330,000. This is within a couple of $100. That's a lot of money. So, 10 suits and $500,000. Now, what does this imply? I'm going to buy a cure. I'm going to buy a cure. If I throw enough money at this, I'll be able to get a cure. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." Be like somebody here. The President of the United States has sent a letter, and he's asking you to come to the White House. The ticket has been provided. You'll be flying out on a private jet, a government jet, to the White House. And when you get there, he's going to want you to give a piano recital. He's got the wrong Oliver. I can't do that. I can't do that. I just can't. I don't care who you are making the quest, and whatever you have provided to bait me with this, I can't do it. And it says in verse 7, it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes. He's upset. He's distressed. He said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive this man to send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." He's picking a fight with me so he can go to war and take more of my territory. Because he's asking the impossible. And it was so, verse 8, that when Elisha, now Elijah has a couple of chapters before, 3 chapters before, had ascended in the whirlwind, in the chariot, or in the whirlwind rather, the chariot is what separated them. That he says, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Now understand that back in the day, there were prophets in Syria, there were prophets all over Israel, there were prophets in Judea, there were prophets everywhere. And the vast majority of them were false prophets. I'm reading Ezekiel right now, and it just talks, and read Jeremiah earlier in the week, and it just deals with this nonstop parade of false prophets that kept saying, "Everything's gonna be fine. Nebuchadnezzar is gonna die, or he's gonna be overthrown, and all the captives are gonna come back, and all the stuff they carried away is gonna come back, and it's all gonna happen in 2 years, or it's gonna happen. And of course, none of it happened. Jeremiah is the only one speaking the truth, and everybody's making fun of him and mocking him, and yet when it's all said and done, he's the one that they come to and saying, is there any word from the Lord? Because he's the only one that told the truth. And lots of people speaking in the name of God, lots of people speaking in the name of the false gods of Syria. He says, let them come to me, and he'll know that there is a prophet, a true prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, verse 9, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. I love this. Here you have a very powerful man. He's there with a huge entourage. He's got $500,000 that he wants to give you to do this. And this whole giant caravan pulls up in front of Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't even come out. It says he sent a messenger. Oh yeah, I knew he was coming. Here, go tell him this. He says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again unto thee and thou shalt be clean. Now, Jordan from this location here is not very far away. Be like, I want you to go over to the town of Pacific. And I want you to go over there and dip yourself down in the creek 7 times and you'll be clean. The first baptism I ever did was in the Jordan. How would I describe the water? If I lowered my hand down below the level of the water, well, I got about more than, say, 4 inches. I couldn't see my hand. So 4 inches of water, you couldn't see your hand. It was about the same color as your pants. About the same color as your Christmas tree. It was green. Green. But the color of the back of these chairs. And because the Jordan flows out of the Sea of Galilee. It's not a spring-fed river. The spring-fed stuff comes from the three main tributaries that dump down into the Sea of Galilee, but the main river flows out of the Sea of Galilee and then flows straight down the valley and down into the Dead Sea. It's green. And the bottom where I'm walking down this sidewalk that they had, you know, blocked it off, poured concrete and everything and then let the water come back in, just slimy, slippery. They got rails on there and even then it's like, whoa. Naaman had to cross that in order to get to Israel. He knows what it looks like. It says in verse 11, and Naaman was wroth. The guy was enraged. And went away. He's going to leave. Maybe he's already begun the trip home. He's angry. And said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of his God and lay his hand over the place and recover the leper. He'd go through some dramatic thing. Maybe there'd be a flash of lightning or something. Because understand that religious procedure, ritual, is always filled with drama and pageantry. If you go to a liturgical church, and the higher the church is, the more dramatic things are. You've got the robes, and Sometimes they have gold on them. They have the bonnets. They have the mitre. They have the stained glass. They have all the artwork. They have all this stuff because it's there to impress. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's just there to impress. Actually, I'm going to be talking about that a little bit tonight, as far as the ambiance of religion. And that was standard operating procedure back in this day as well as today. That's all very important. And so, and that's what he would have seen in his pagan temples back in Damascus. And so he's enraged. It didn't happen the way he thought it should happen. Okay, so first he wants to buy a cure. And secondly, he wants it done his way. Like I said, this makes great gospel preaching, because this is how people are when you're sharing the gospel with them. People have all their objections to the gospel. That somehow, okay, I can buy it. Now, some people think that if they're generous enough, they can do that. I've shared the story. Phil Schuller, who was an evangelist, went to be with the Lord here a few years ago, grew up in Los Angeles area. And his father pastored the Trinity Methodist Church of Los Angeles, which doesn't even exist anymore, but it was a gospel preaching place back in the day and ran 1,500 people or more. Big, huge gospel preaching church. And because of their location in Los Angeles, and his people rubbed shoulders with Hollywood. And there was a man in his church who was a dentist. And he had, the big stars in his chair, and he'd share the gospel with them. And Bob Hope heard the gospel from this dentist. And Bob Hope, who was one of the, I think he was close to a billionaire by the time he passed away. He's a very smart businessman, very generous guy too. Just put his hands up. And then lectured the dentist, saying, when you are as generous as I am, when you've given away as much money as I have, then you can talk to me about your Jesus. I can buy it. I can earn it by my good works, by my generosity, by my kindness, my involvement in various charitable efforts. I can earn my salvation. And folks, that's the way most of the world looks at it. Even if it's under the heading of religion. Most religions are a performance-oriented thing, that somehow or another I'm going to make it to paradise or heaven or whatever it may be by what I do. So he's trying to buy it, and then when he can't buy it, he's figuring, well, it's going to be done this way. It's not going to be that way either. And so he's just enraged because, well, if it's not this and it's not this, and he said do this, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't know if you've ever, several times, you get some people, you share the gospel, and I don't know if you've ever had anybody say, is that it? Is that all? And there are people that will reject the gospel because it's too simple. It's too easy. Surely I have to do this, or I have to go through this regiment, or I have to be baptized, and I have to join the church, and I have to go through catechism, and I have to do, and there has to be something else other than simply acknowledging that I'm a sinner and putting my trust in what Christ has done for me on Calvary's cross. There's got to be more to it than that. This is too simple. I can't believe that. It's just too simple. And he's upset. Look at verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? These were rivers that came off of the mountains of Lebanon. They would have been, even though they run down into the desert, they are clear, cool, trout stream type rivers. He says, may I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned away and went away in a rage. Stinking, smelly green Jordan. That's disgusting. I'll go home and do it. That's just nasty. Well, buddy, look in the mirror. You're nasty. You're covered with leprosy. And very wisely, look at verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, showing great respect and reverence, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? If he had said, go climb to the summit of Mount Hermon and stand there in the snow barefoot for 3 days praying, would you have not done that? How much rather when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? People get all upset, bent out of shape. It's too simple. It's just this. This is what God has said. It's not about you. It's what he has provided, and you just received the gift. Now, are you going to receive it or not? Because that's it. Because salvation can only be had on God's terms. He doesn't make deals. There's no bartering with God. So, he listened to reason. He saw the wisdom of the counsel from his servants. He realized they were right. Verse 14, he went down, dipped himself 7 times into Jordan. And of course, you know, when you hear the preaching, each time he comes up and he does this, you know, doesn't say that, but. And his flesh came again, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You can imagine the shouts of joy. Ah! Look at this! Woo! He's all excited. And he returned. He doesn't go on his way, because it's on the way. He has to backtrack to go back to Elisha. He's on his way home when he stops Jordan. But he goes back to Elisha. He returned to the man of God. He and all his company went back with the whole caravan. And stood before him, Elisha now comes out, because the humiliation is no longer part of the regimen. It's not necessary anymore. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of the servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. I'm not going to take your money. I know right now it's a gesture of gratitude. But I want to make sure that you understand that this was of grace and this is not to be purchased. And so I will not receive this. I will not receive this. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And when I was a new believer and I read this, this was always perplexing to me. Look at verse 17. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? I want as much dirt as 2 mules can carry. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto the gods, but unto the Lord. Now, why the dirt? All right. Now understand, he's got the mindset of, you know, an 8th century BC Aramaean. Gods were thought to be tied to a piece of real estate. He says, I know there's not another God in all the earth. But he doesn't necessarily recognize that the God of Israel is the God of all the earth. He's thinking he's still the God of Israel. So what I need to do is take some Israel back to Syria with me if I'm going to appropriately worship the God of Israel. His attitude's right. His thinking is a little wrong, but that's his attitude. That's why he wanted, I got to take some Israel with me. And so, and he followed, that's what he did. And off he goes. A changed man. And God did a great work of grace, but it requires, I can't buy it. I can't earn it. I've got to do it God's way. It's humiliating. It isn't the way I would do it. but it's what God has said. And it works every time. And the man comes back rejoicing. Because after it's done, he's not complaining about the method. He's rejoicing in what happened. And I've never heard anybody complain. As a matter of fact, we rejoice after our salvation saying, I'm so thankful that it's by grace and I didn't have to earn it because I never could. I can't. I can't be good enough. I can't accomplish enough. I can't give enough. But God graciously forgives. All right. Any additional questions or comments on Naaman? And by the way, that's the end of him. We don't see him again. He's only here in chapter 5. Okay. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you have made salvation crystal clear and oh so simple. And yet because it's so simple and because of the very nature of the thing, it is humiliating that I have nothing to offer, nothing I could offer. I must receive it as a gift. I must empty myself of all hope and receive the gift of salvation. And Father, thank you that you have made provision for this. Father, thank you that it's all of you. It's all of grace. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.